Log Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
The most wonderful time of year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of year. It's the happiest season of all, with those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happy season of all. There'll be parties for toasting marshmallows, for toasting and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Tales of the glories of
Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. It's the most wonderful time. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Okay, welcome back to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. All right, guys, we had a little bit of a mic trouble in the beginning, so I didn't realize that you guys didn't need an opening. I want to thank the Lord for another week, so at least get into the beginning of another week. I want to thank Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 KISS FM Radio, for his wonderful contributions to the show. You guys can hear him do his thing on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m., and on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. on isolradio.com. Those of you that was part of his collusion with Felix Hernandez, you guys were at Roseland last night. You know, it was an awesome farewell to the Rhythm Review that goes on there quite often, and since Roseland is closing down, we were there. Thanking the two groups on Facebook that continuously give us pre-broadcast topic questions, support, and feedback, to Linda Miller's Black Love and Conversations group, and to Mark of the Real World Black News and Discussions group. I want to thank you guys very much for all your intense and intriguing feedback, because without you, half of this stuff wouldn't even be able to be said. And to my team, Lady Diamond Elaine Yeves, who's very ill this week, and I'm hoping she's okay. So for those of you that are out there that have heard her and know her, please send your prayers up. She said she might be able to make it tonight, so if she's there, you know, I'll be happy. I want to thank Monster Miles with his sports. I want to thank DJ Dome Record, Lightning Williams. And Deacon Betty Williams, if you're out there listening, I can't thank you enough, because you have been nothing but a wonderful input to this show and a wonderful addition to the panel. So that's what I had said while the mic was being muted, and I do apologize for that. So tonight, we're going to be concluding our Battle of the Sexes and Sex segment. And tonight's question, which got me a hell of a lot of feedback, is who is responsible for practicing safe sex or for keeping sex safe? Is it the man? Is it the woman? Is it both? Now, I already see that we have a couple of panelists on the line, so we're going to get this started. Now, let me bring them in. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Good evening, Ms. Barnett. God bless you and your family.
All right, God bless you, too, and you definitely were listening in, so I hope you heard my thank you.
Yes,
all right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's get started, Deacon. Who is responsible for safe sex?
That's a two-sided thing. They're both responsible. Why should it be more on one than the other?
That's
because
most
if a life becomes out of that relationship, with they're both responsible, the two parents, right?
You know, it would be nice if a lot of people felt that way. And I will say, based on the feedback that I received today, I was really happy to hear that a lot of men were actually in agreement with you. Okay, so one of the things that I also saw was that with a lot of the men that actually agreed with you, also had that little spin-off addition to, but, you know, the woman needs to be more responsible because a guy can, you know, can jet off and be pregnant. Now, listen, usually I start off with giving my viewpoint, which I didn't do today because of the technical difficulty, but one of the things that I've been hearing, even from grown men, which I guess gets me surprised or whatever, is this. We all know the situation. Men usually get the breaks when it comes to sex. Women usually get the scarlet letters. You know, women get penalized for being pregnant if the guy leaves because you should have known better, which is absolute garbage. But here's the deal. Everybody that responded kept putting the pregnancy up first, and I was sitting there like, are you guys serious? You know, yes, you definitely are going to have a baby out of it, but believe it or not, catching an STD is a lot more prominent than getting pregnant. And STDs, even if the woman was responsible to sell the birth control, don't get protected by birth control. So when I'm hearing, which saddens me, that more men are more believing that babies, which is a more natural, more positive thing, to come out of sex and supposed to be something that's welcome and cherished, actually saw that as the plague, and the plague is something not to worry about. So it happened. So my question is to those of you that are out there pegging it on the woman because of pregnancy, so then what the hell makes you responsible if you catch an STD? That's my question. Do have another panelist on the line, so just hang on a second while we bring them in, and you can continue your point. Welcome to the show. Call you on the air.
Hey, Katie. Hey, Deacon. This is
Rod.
Hey,
Rod.
Welcome.
How are you, man? God bless
you. Very good. I heard about that.
Oh,
go ahead.
Weigh in. What's your deal, dude?
Well, I think it should be an equal responsibility, pregnancy as well as STD.
Yes.
Unfortunately, as far as the STD is concerned, there's no easy way around it. You have to use some sort of protection, because even if the guy walks into the picture and said, hey, I just got out of the military and I'm very sterile, I just missed a landmine, so I'll never make any kids, you can still pass on something.
Right.
Yeah,
it won't be
true.
Kids, though.
Right.
So you have to be equally careful. So you just can't throw your hands up and just be worried about pregnancy, because I'm sure most guys enjoy that oral playtime they can have with their woman, too. So just to make sure that they don't have to worry about making any deposits. There's still stuff to worry about.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think what disturbed me most is not that I didn't expect that guys were going to talk about the baby situation, but this is what gets me. They don't seem to realize that contact automatically, if a person is infected, automatically puts that other person either at risk of getting it or giving it to them a lot faster than the possibility of having a baby comes up. And that's what I don't understand. A woman must be on her ovulation date. For those of you wannabe players that are walking around just thinking about, you know, the sexual aspect, a woman can't get pregnant but once a month, okay? But an STD is constant. If a person is infected and you lay down unprotected, you're going to get that STD unless you're one hell of a lucky person. All right? You are going to get that STD. It's an automatic, it's a definite, but a pregnancy, there's a possibility. It's a Russian roulette thing. Okay? So unless you were that unfortunate, for those of you that don't want babies, okay, to have landed this woman on her ovulation date, you can't get pregnant right away. All right? But you can catch an STD immediately. You can get pregnant from oral sex, but you can get an STD from oral sex.
Yes.
So for those of you men that keep on pegging women, oh, the babies, I'm not going to have no kid, I'm not going to do this, I'm going to walk away, you better think twice, that you might be walking away from a baby, but you're not walking away from being infected. And what gets me once again is that the sadness is that men are treating the possibility of pregnancy more like the plague, but they're pegging a possibility of an STD as some faraway possibility.
Yeah, alcohol just makes everything better.
That's a sad situation. I don't care about the alcohol situation. I'm talking about people who are sober-minded answering this question. Okay?
Alcohol can't be used as an excuse, and to me that's a cop-out.
It's like too.
Yeah, it's just like I don't believe in that. At one point in my life, I used to drink, and I used to drink quite a bit and often. So basically, I can remember everything I did and every person I was involved with. So that excuse about that's a cop out, and a person to use that is a spineless worm. So
the only thing that
you can't use
alcohol.
That's a cop out. That's just a cop out.
The only thing I could put alcohol on is that you weren't in your right mind to think of using birth control because you're just in it for whatever is going on. But like I said, it bothers me so much that men are so upset about pregnancy when it comes down to certain things that they forget, even if the woman came in responsible and gave them the biggest break of their life by being protected. Birth control does not stop AIDS. It does not stop herpes. It doesn't stop VD, if that even exists anymore. Okay? It doesn't stop the warts. It doesn't stop these things. So what the hell would the men say that decided to go in bareback anyway?
Yeah.
So it's responsible.
That's pregnancy for the guy begins when the kid turns two.
Right. And what gets me is a woman can't get pregnant without a man. So the whole thing is, look, I get it, ladies. We have to think ahead of a guy when it comes down to pregnancy. We also have to be responsible for our bodies because whether or not they talk the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the whole nine, you still have to sit there and say, regardless of what, I don't want no STDs either. If you decide to pick up a guy that was a hottie, I see you there, Paula. Just give me a minute. If you decide to pick up a hottie and you decide you're going to go and do the horizontal mamba, you know, you want to do what you're going to do, okay, you still have to think above the fact that, you know what, we know how it goes. Guys get a little more physical about getting to the do than the girls do without thinking. So we do have to think in that respect, but not because we're going to be scarlet-lettered whores that have babies. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. On the other hand, gentlemen of the present, this little cop-out crap about, oh, well, you know, women got to think ahead because guys have always been guys. Put that bull crap in the crapper because you know what? You guys have all sense enough to stop using that blanket crap and make wiser decisions, especially if you don't want your daughters, sisters, mamas, and all those other things to be victims of the same type of nonsense. With a guy using that same nonsense. Let me bring our caller in now. Hold on one second. Welcome to the show, caller. You on the air?
Good evening, Katie. Good evening.
Well, Lou, hello, and welcome back.
Hey, what's up, Lou? Where you been, man?
What up, man? Hey, man. Hey, it's a long story, man, but you know what I'm saying?
Good
around, man. And I've been trying to make things happen, baby. You know what I mean? Trying to make it happen, man. I wouldn't have missed it for the night, man, for the world. Actually, I can't stay long because I got to go see a man by the dog. But I do want to say this. It's ironic that Katie having this topic this today, or yeah, this been going on. I was just in an extremely heated debate till the wee hours of the morning in a group about this exact subject. And there's very few things on Facebook to get my boxers in a bunch. But this is one. This is one. And that is, what that is? Is that me? Y'all hear that background?
I hear some type of static I hear in the background.
Yeah, you got to look up.
Anyhow.
Some type of static I hear in the background.
Yeah, it ain't me. But anyway, this
subject,
as I said, there's very few things on Facebook that get my boxers in a bunch, but this subject right here is men, but I will say, too, there are several, many, many, many women that feel the same way, that when it comes to a baby and the responsibility to avoid it or take care of it even and stuff, it's solely the woman's responsibility. And I'm like, my philosophy is that unless a woman goes to a fertility clinic and elects to get pregnant on her own, that's fine. That's one thing. But if you lay down and have sex with a woman and she gets pregnant, you are equally as responsible as she is in taking care and supporting that baby. And it just really baffles my mind that people that feel as though because it's the woman who opens her legs or because she's the one who actually has the baby, that it's her fault. And there are guys that really feel like they should be able to just walk away. And I don't want no baby, so I'm gone. And that to me, that gives me, man, you should have seen.
To me, a person that thinks like that is not thinking anyway. To me, I consider them brain dead.
It's because he is that. But you know, go ahead, Luke.
But here, this actually is not to be our subject. This is what the subject was about. A woman posted that if a man. If her baby daddy, which she don't even have no kids, by the way, if her baby daddy don't want to pay child support, she not going, or if he don't refuse to pay child support, she not going to put him in the system. She not going to be going to get the white man all in his business. Black men have it hard enough already, and I'm not going to go. I'm not going to beg nobody to help me take. And she had to say, my parents will help me. And, of course, you know what I said to her. I said, do you know what a big a fool you sound like? You're the king of your parents, but you don't want to go downtown and fill out some paperwork and make this sorry mug that was laying up with you, having sex with you every night, and got you pregnant. You let him walk away. I said, what about people who don't have kids and paying taxes and stuff? And you get on the system and they take care of your kids and stuff, and you letting this sorry, lazy SOB get a pass because you don't want to go downtown.
I said,
you
know what that sounds like?
Huh?
I said, get out of here. I wish I was there on that one.
Yeah, look, you know what I suspect a lot of that is? I say that you sprung out over this sorry chump, and you don't want to cause him no harm as far as making him have to pay, so you'd rather have your child suffer and go without or have your parents to help take care. I say that's one of the problems with our society today. It's gotten to the point where many people expect. I feel like as a grandparent, that's supposed to be voluntary. We got too many people depending on their grandparents to make them. If I don't have no grandkids, but if I had a grandchild, whatever, this next, it's going to be strictly on my terms. I'm going to go get them when I want to. I'm going to go take them home when I want to. It ain't going to be no, I got to, and this my grandbaby, I got to do this, and I got to do that. And I'm not. I mean, if he needs something and my kids can't do it, yes, whatever. But you know how we have too many grandparents raising kids, you know, raising their kids, you know, missing out on their golden years when they should be traveling and so on and so forth. But they raising little kids because their daughter or sons or something went out and had kids and not being responsible. But, yeah, you know, I got mad. They was telling me, man, why is you throwing Facebook, flipping Facebook tables? Because I was mad. I said, because babies don't ask to be here. We bring them into this world and everything and stuff, and so that is stupid to think that you don't want to file paperwork on them. If he don't want to pay, if you give him a chance, he want to pay. But if he don't want to pay, then, yeah, you put them folks on him.
Now, I just got another response, gentlemen, okay, which, all right, this is, like I said, all day I've been frustrated because while every guy that stepped into the plate and said that both men and women are responsible. I also got the right after they said that, they ended the response with, but the woman has to carry the child. So what? I'm going to say it again. So what?
Yeah.
So if you walk away with a disease, you got to walk away with a disease, then it's the woman's fault. Women, yes, of course. Ladies, if you're out there, this is not a sexist thing. This is just a sensible thing. If you don't want to get pregnant, then you got to stay a step ahead of them. Because they don't think with their brains. They think with their little heads. Now, on the other hand, you men need to understand that if you lay down, I don't give a damn if she's a 50 trick a day whore. If you are one of the 50 tricks in that day, you're in the gene pool until it's proven otherwise. But what gets me is that our men keep on seeing the baby as the biggest problem in sex, then, which, like I said before, the ratio of a pregnancy happening from a one-night stand or from a couple of rendezvous is a lot less than you catching a disease. Because if that person is infected without protection, you're going to get the disease. But you may not be a father or a mother. So this nonsense about women, this nonsense about women having to be responsible because of babies. Why is it that babies are the taboo, but possibly getting a disease, which you more than likely will get, is not?
But you know what, Katie, you got a whole bunch of sorry, pitiful, deadbeat mugs around here that would rather catch an STD than take care of a baby. You know what I mean? Yeah,
you
I
know
guess
what?
You can go get it and clear it up. But basically, my opinion is sorry. I'm sorry. It's just me. It's just sorry, and you're not really a man. You can have what. That's what a lot of them. She opens her leg, so whatever. Okay, he has to unzip his pants, don't he? He has to enter the woman, and so on and so forth. So why is she any less? Because it's her legs, or that. And you know, you'd be surprised, Katie, the women that feel that way too. The women with clothes, the women feel that way often.
You're getting broken up a little bit, Lou.
Oh, wow.
You know, It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous and it's sad, and that's why there's so many fatherless children out there. And to that idiot woman who said she ain't getting this man involved, first of all, if you have to get to the damn point of filing for child support in the first place, that means he's already proven himself not to be proper. Okay? I can't stand that nonsense with people, and I can't stand women who say that stuff. Regardless of whether or not he chooses to believe that there's a kid there, your kid needs to continue, okay? Like I tell my ex all the time whenever he gives me nonsense, listen, you can plug up your eyes, your ears, your mouth, and pretend that you don't have them, but while you're doing that, they still have to eat, they still grow, and they still need clothing. I still have to figure out a way to make sure that is all cared for, whether you want to pretend or not. It's disgusting the way that I'm here. And even the most intelligent of men that answered ended with that crap. You know, listen, there is a lot quicker and more definite that you will catch a disease from once carrying than you possibly making a baby.
That's right.
But you know what, too, Katie, it's also not only just sorriness, but it's also ignorance. Because for example, this was touched on the subject well, too. I've heard this. Many women, many guys that be tripping and complaining about, talking about the woman spending the money on themselves, right, because she might go get her doggone hair done or buy a doggone purse, but not recognizing that because they're giving them $50 a doggone week, and the woman paying the rent, the gas, the light, the gas, and the vehicle, shuffling the child around, so on and so forth. So what if she get that little $50 and get her hair done, you know, every 2 weeks or something like that? You see what I'm saying? And so it really just be a cop-out of sorriness, on my opinion. I can't stand sorry. You lay down and you enjoy yourself while you taking the baby, but then when the baby get here, you want to act like a chump and a punk and bag up and not take care of the child. So who loses? The child. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
I paid cops for many years, and I used to hear guys, this time, luckily I was getting money from other sources, and so my check sometimes used to be very little and all that stuff, but still, it's about being a man, you know, suffering the consequences for your actions. You know, it's about basically standing up. If me and Mr. Tim Brothers go out and rob a bank, as I said, and we plan it and plot it out, and we go out and rob the bank and things go soft, and I get caught, what am I be telling those lady for? What I'm gonna be up in there crying and whining and begging and going on for mercy and stuff? I made the conscious decision to go rob that bank. It's time for me to man up. You feel me?
That's right.
You know,
Lou, even more importantly, while these ignorant older folks are out there talking this nonsense from way back in the colonial days, there's younger boys growing up becoming fathers. And they're having the same damn attitude. And the thing is, we spoke about this. You weren't with us, but just Friday or Thursday, one of the 2 days, there was a man on here that he called himself Classy that was bringing up a lot of education, which, and then, Deacon, you also made this point. We have dropped the ball somewhere in our age. We are the 40-somethings that used to be the 40-somethings from our day that taught us what to do, how it's supposed to be better. The problem is, too many of these 50-somethings, 40-something men and women have forgotten that their time to be young is over. Their time for wild college days has passed. Okay, we're supposed to be at 40 years old at the point of saying, you know what, I've been there, done that, ooh, back in my days. But that's where you're supposed to have gotten wisdom from, so that you can pass on with knowledge and first-hand understanding that I understand about the wildness. But listen, let me tell you, young blood, how you're supposed to do this. Okay, too many people there are too many babies being born with no more direction. There are too many diseases being passed on with too many of the outsiders trying to stop things like Obamacare to help these things. And on top of that, they got too many government interferences telling you that your teen ain't your damn business. They can come and get a condom from us, an IUD from us. They can get an abortion without your permission. But, oh, wait a minute. If any of those things should have a side effect, we can't touch them until the parent says yes. So while you guys are out there swinging your wigglies, hello? There's another caller coming in. Give me a second. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air. Hi, Katie. This is Arlene.
Okay, yeah, you better have
Rick. Hello, Arlene. Yeah. How are you?
Arlene, you know you had to identify yourself because I would have thought you were your sister.
I know. That's why I said immediately, hi, Katie. This is Arlene.
Hi, dear. How you doing? All right, weigh in, sweetheart.
I'm okay. I was just listening in to the discussion, and I honestly feel that both people are responsible, male and female. But I also know that there's a lot of girls who have babies for the wrong reasons, and as a result of that, that can cause guys to, like, walk away from the unborn children, because sometimes girls think you have a baby, it holds down the man. That does not work anymore. You know, but women are still under that misguided assumption. And when you have a baby to hold a man down and he knows that you're trying to trap him, you know what I mean? You would get
right.
a different reaction from him opposed to if that's a planned pregnancy or if it's even a real relationship. If it's a one-night affair, a one-night bump and grind, of course he's not going to welcome a child and he's not going to be responsible. You know what I mean?
You know what?
I will say this. Even though both people are responsible, it's a lot surrounding how conception was at the time, where your level of thought is at in your relationship, if it's a relationship, and if it's a guy who hung around long enough to get you pregnant, I mean, like, you know, being into a relationship. And then he steps off. Then it's up to us to make them responsible. You know
right.
what I mean? Because if we don't make them responsible, they won't be responsible. Some of them may be without a father, and they may want to, you know, because they didn't have a father, they would want more desire to be a father. But then there's some that are very non-caring, and it doesn't matter. But it depends on the girl, how she handles her relationship with the guy. Determines how he's going to act. If you give him a free pass, he's taking it. If you don't, he got to man up.
That's true. And I will say this because there's a couple of things that I wanted to address based on what you said. Now, number one, a lot of people tend to forget this part. Do you know how many modern-day guys that are trying to be Father Abraham lately? Okay, and you guys know what I'm talking about. How many guys out there are so proud to be fathers of many seeds, and they
mm-hmm.
won't go, yes, I've got 37 mm-hmm. children. I've
got right,
17
right.
kids. Okay,
right.
Now, think about this, because you know me, I'm not with the old-fashioned nonsense. I'm not. Only when it comes down to how I'll give myself out or build relationships or whatever. But there are a lot of guys out there that are out there telling these women that they want them to have their babies simply because they want to walk around saying that their seed works, okay? Now, that's number one. So they'll convince these girls to go naked, okay, to go bare, to do whatever, because they're promising them the whole white picket fence, apple pie, three kids and a dog, and the whole nine. The next thing you know, they're on Lynn Toler's show talking about divorce court. All right, so that's number one. Number two, as far as people being responsible, they are equally responsible. I know an uncle that taught my brothers, I don't care if the woman says she's on three birth controls, plus she got a tube tied, plus she did this. Your damn job is to be out there to bag yourself anyway.
Thank you, Katie. I was just about to say that. I was going to address her what you said, which is an excellent point. There are many women that connive and sneak and deceitfully come up pregnant, swear they on the pill, or they can't get pregnant, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If that happens, then darn it, and she lied to you, it's still you responsible. Because it's a baby. Once the baby is here, the baby ain't got nothing to do with you or who lied or who whatever. The baby is here. The baby still needs peppers and still need to eat and so on and so forth. So if you didn't take the heed to still put on a condom or so on and so forth, you still responsible.
And there's one more point on that one, Lou. Thank you very much. Now, for you fellas that are out there, because we had a very live caller Thursday talking about the woman has the responsibility because she's the one that can have the decision to make the yes or no about a baby. I don't give a flying hell, okay, if she said she wants to have it or she doesn't, or she says she doesn't want to have it and changed her mind. You are still on the hook for 50% of that baby's needs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. You like it. You may be upset with it. You may do whatever, whatever, but you are not going to be able to say, well, I told her I didn't want a baby. Tough. I don't care. No. The point is the baby's here, and you are the person that fathered it. Maybe you don't got to deal with the mom, but that baby is here. And I can guarantee that if that fetus figured out that once it got here, somebody was going to abandon it, shit, a long time ago.
Yeah, but you know what, too, Katie? Those are guys that have to have some type of substance. If they don't have no substance, there's no way they're going to feel like that. If you trap a guy, that's a negative feel across the board. You understand
okay.
what I'm saying?
If it's a reason for pregnancy,
it's different.
The reasons for pregnancy or keeping the baby is a whole other segment. This is tonight is strictly about who's responsible for safe sex. And I hear too many people telling me it's on the woman. Then I even hear the people who agree that it's both still peg it with it's on the woman in the head. Listen, I get it. I get it. You know, from way back when men couldn't talk and were just beating dragons over the head and dropping the bloody heap in the cave door for the women to cook and figure out what to do with it, this is the way it went. They're all about banging on their chest and conquering and doing whatever. I get it. But what is the right thing to do? Both of them are laying the hell down, whether they're unzipping or kicking their panties down. Both of them are doing it. And one of the things is it's up to parents to teach a woman not to use a baby for crap, and it's also up to a parent to teach a man that they're not supposed to go out there and think that it's just about getting their little wieners wet. Because too many men, I see you, caller, I'll bring you in just a minute. I hear too many men walking the hell around, okay, figuring, telling their sons with pride in their chest that the way you measure your manhood is about how many women you done dipped into.
Yeah.
Okay, I hear too many men with this high standard of crap that they want from a woman, yet they give them half, if that much, in coming in. And the fact that we women get stupid as hell, okay, when it comes down to them saying the right things, even to the point when it's been over, we still try to remember the good part about what happened, okay, being in a mess. And the next thing you know, you got children growing up in that same union feeling the same damn way.
Yes.
No,
yeah,
you're
but Katie,
right.
Katie, you know, you made a point about responsibility and as coming up being taught. In today's society, you have so many parents that are having children that are going out here having sex. They're just they're not raising them, but they're trying to be their friends instead of their parents, and they're not teaching them the way that they should react or respond to anything sexual out here in today's society. Because you have a lot of them now that young ladies and young men are making babies out here. But nobody's taking the time to teach these children as they're coming up, and that's where we, in our age group, have dropped the ball, because we have always had positive people in our lives that were teaching us right from wrong. You don't
mm-hmm.
have that today. It's very it's almost like it's extinct. You know, to teach mm-hmm. to teach the children. The word says teach the children in the way they should go. And that's not being done. We have fallen away from that, and we need to start putting it back together and just getting back to the basics and putting things back in the way they should be.
Absolutely. I do need to bring our other panelists in. Just give me a second. Welcome to the show, caller. You on the air?
Hi, Katie.
Oh, God. Okay, this is Darlene. Okay, hi, Darlene.
Hello, Darlene.
Darlene.
Hello, panel.
Hi.
And I have to say, I love both of your voices.
Oh,
yeah, okay.
Hey, hey, you got both pregnant like that now.
Stop selling games until you get tricked when you see them in person. Roseland.
Okay. Hello, panel.
All right, Darlene.
My name is Darlene, and I've been listening in. And for me, this is the school for thought. Because what works for me does not work for everyone else. However, by me feeling this way, it made it easier for me to be a single parent and not full of resentment against my child. Half of the women, young ladies, adolescents, whatever have you, that are having these babies, they don't take the moment to stop to think, excuse me. Listen, when I was 20 years old and I found out I was pregnant, I decided to have my baby because I wanted it. I wanted it. And when my baby got here and her father acted like an idiot, I didn't feel so bad because the decision was mine. Even though we both are responsible, the woman has more of a responsibility because she's the one who's going to have to deal with the child for the rest of her life, their life, whatever. Okay? Regardless of whether the man is there or not, the child has to be raised. The problem is that they are having these children so fast today that they don't even get to know the guy. Nothing about him, his name, his mother's name, sister's name, date of birth, where he was born, nothing. They don't know anything about these men that they are laying with. That's number one. Number two is that when they get stuck out there and get pregnant, when the baby gets here, because they had the baby for all the wrong reasons, they hold resentments against the children.
Right.
So when you have a resentment against the child, you're not going to raise him properly because you're too busy telling him he looked like his damn father or his damn mother or whatever.
That's an excellent point you make, Darlene. Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question, though, Darlene?
Yes,
I get
may.
That. And that makes a lot of sense what you just said. You made the conscious decision that, hey, you're going to have this baby and whether he is or not. But let me ask you, does he support the child? Does your baby daddy support
you? Yes, even if I had to take him to court, the choice was mine. But my point was this, that when the child got here, I loved the baby, and I nurtured the baby, and I wanted the baby. See, it's our attitudes once we have the baby. Because we don't have the man, now we want to hold it against the child.
The only thing that I need to say with regards to that once again is not about the reason or what happens with the pregnancy or whatever. It's about who is responsible for preventing all of that.
Both is responsible. But it helps a little more when you want the baby. You need to see what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being able to look at that baby with some love in your heart. You understand?
That's not what I'm saying. Today's not about that. We're talking about responsibility.
I'm not talking about who's responsible
once the baby gets here because it was disgusting. You didn't want it.
It's
I'm talking about who decides birth control? Who decides that you got to put a condom on to prevent STDs?
Right. To prevent
because
pregnancy.
Now I get it.
Okay.
We both
decide.
Right. Thank you.
That's an interesting story.
Yeah. This story was interesting, though.
Maybe at least
we got a plan for a new topic for another show, though.
Oh, okay. Listen, I'm not mad at you. But I know that there's a lot of children who I hear them, the parents, the first thing they say is, you look like him. And they say it with such malice.
That's
and I think it
true.
Shuns them from growing them up properly.
Yeah, well,
if you want
nerves,
a baby,
anyway,
you
that's
just
that's
happen to
nerves.
Care for it more. That was my only, you know, point.
Right.
Yeah, anytime you take out on your child something because of a mistake you made, you got issues anyway and stuff. So
once
that
again,
too is
I don't want to get off the topic because then I'll wind up going over credit, and I need to stay on the topic. I will say this, Darlene. No. What you said was interesting, and definitely I plan to have a follow-up. And while we're on the subject of next shows, tomorrow night, gentlemen, I'm going to be actually having a tribute show to you guys, and I'm going to tell you why. Okay, I'm so sick and tired of society just going back. Like I said, I'm not about that old-fashioned nonsense. And there's too many of you good guys that are out there that don't get the credit because of all the front-page jerks. So tomorrow, ladies, you guys are on the hot seat. We're on the hot seat. For all of those good guys that are looking for good relationships, and for all of you women that are out there complaining that you don't have any, but you're one of those people that make these guys back off, you're on the hot seat. That's tomorrow. So I'm letting all you guys
cool.
know.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm looking forward
to
it.
To say, I like it hot. I like it hot.
Yeah.
I love it. Burning, sizzling. Well, see, and I'm going to tell you why you like it. Because like I always say in my show when I'm speaking, if the shoes don't fit you, don't pick them the hell up. Period.
That's it.
Don't pick up the shoes because if you're going to be offended if you have to walk in them. Period. That's the way I feel. And only somebody that has a problem with it is because they're guilty of it. All right, period.
I hear that.
With regards to sex, when men stop teaching their damn sons that it's okay for you to go out and dip because guys don't get pregnant, which is what I've been hearing from ancestors and their co-relatives and their cohabitants, stupidness. Okay, stupidity all the way around. I'm going to give you a little example, okay? I was at a church function. All right? This church function, this wonderful church that I go to, and I am not being sarcastic when I said that they're a great church, happened to have an end of year or end of summer celebration where they honor the youth for all the service that they've done in the church and for getting good grades and everything. So this pastor has a big barbecue party with a pool and everything at this place, you know, at his home because he has a whatever. And everybody from the affiliated churches come with their people, even if they don't attend the church, they're part of it. Now, one of these extended relatives and guests that came was a 17-year-old boy that was in the pool with all the other kids. Now, three of us adults that were chaperoning heard this 17-year-old boy asking the girls what their ages were. All right? Just to show you what I mean about this chauvinistic bull BS.
Right.
And what happened was we're listening to this 17-year-old boy, almost 18, mind you, ask these girls, and these girls told him, I'm 12, I'm 11, I'm 13, I'm 14. And he said, ooh, I could get in trouble messing with you. Okay. Now, party's over. About 2 days later, one of the mothers of these younger girls found out that this particular 17-year-old boy, who was the relative of one of the church officials, was texting one of the underage girls, telling her to meet him somewhere, lie to her parents, and asking her to take a picture of her naked private part and show him that she was having an orgasm on camera for him. So this girl, showing truth, went and decided, I don't know how to do that, but I do know from seeing porn movies or whatever it was she saw, I'm going to go get a soap, some water, and I'm going to lather up myself and make it look like I came and took a picture of it. Now,
what?
Mind you, yeah,
wow.
that's pretty creative. Oh. I get it. But let's look past the comedy and see what I'm talking about. All right?
Please,
now, this is
please.
The way that this was handled when it was brought to light by the girl's parents to the person that the guest came with. All right? This boy's guardians told this 12-year-old girl's mother that, oh, he's a good boy. He goes to college. He's going to college.
12 and 17?
So what they wanted to do was, and then said that this girl is a whore.
Wow.
And try to defend the boy's honor so that he wouldn't have a little sexual indiscretion, mar up his record for college. So for women, it's the scarlet letter infraction. But for men, it's let's wipe this little sexual indiscretion off and send them off to school. So once again, you ignorant parents, get your boys off of the idea that they're entitled to sleep around with whoever the hell they want, consequence-free, and that they're entitled to have a future while they leave a girl straddled with not only the whore letter, but a kid that needs to have both parents.
I'm glad it wasn't a daughter of mine because he wouldn't make it to college.
She was 12 years old and
she's
official.
And he disappears once again.
She was 12 years old, and these people were willing, okay, were willing to scar her reputation before she was even a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
While she gave this guy who had the knowledge and even understood the law enough to tell these girls, I'm going to get in trouble dealing with you.
Exactly.
They saw the proof in text, so it's not like they could say the girl was lying, and they decided to peg it on the woman.
Unfortunately, in this day and age with 24-hour, with Skyping and all these different video cams and webcams and texting and all that, that stuff is so prevalent, way more than any of us probably would ever believe that stuff is prevalent with young guys, whatever. But I want to say this, though. I raised two boys and a daughter, and maybe I was just because of who I am and what I am. Whatever. I talk to my boys and my daughters and whatever. I talk to them about all of that, about trying to run a train on a girl and end up catching a running chain, even if she is willing, all of that stuff, strapping on, not believing if she says she on the pill, all that. I school my kids so much, and no, I'm not by no means, I got any perfect kids. I don't got any grandkids yet, and both of them, you know, my kids in college and whatnot and all that. My daughter ain't pregnant or nothing, but I'm just saying, I guess the bottom line is what I'm saying is it comes down to parenting. It sounds cliche, and we say it all the time, but it comes down to being involved. I ain't talking about just dropping off a check every week. I ain't talking about just going to get them on in, taking them to the park or something. I'm talking about daily, every day, being involved in your kids' life, and you'd be surprised how you can steer them in the right way.
Right. And the reason why this was discovered, because that 12-year-old daughter's mom who does a drive-by on her cell phone. And what got me was this. That same church official who adopts children to help the community had yet another son texting another girl with his naked chest at 13. So I asked this person if this mother was aware of her daughter's 12-year-old activity, because she understands that 12-year-olds will go behind their parents' back and try to do these things. Why weren't they aware of their son's behavior?
Mm-hmm.
Why would church official approach?
I know you stuck on that one.
This was church officials who are supposed to be an outreach people who sat there and was willing, because it was one of their own, to end the future of a troubled girl, if that's what they wanted to call it, okay, and put her out to pasture.
You know what, Katie? I think that the reason why the responsibility lies on both people, period.
Right.
But I think the reason why the guys are not feeling that way is because, again, we were raised with substance. I have three sons, and my oldest son is 38 years old, and he don't have any children. And he don't have any children because he wasn't ready to have any children. But I also raised him in a way that I always told him, protect yourself. Wear two covers. If you don't, if a girl come knocking on my door talking about this my daddy, my baby daddy, guess what? If you went there and you was unwrapped, you went without a coat on, then guess what? You the baby daddy until you can show me something different.
That's exactly what I tell my son, and I don't even think he started sex yet. I told him if I'm in a wheelchair.
My little son, he has two children, but he married the girl that he is with. Because I taught them, do not for nothing, I don't care what you see in the street, do not disrespect no girl. Okay? And you're not going to have a baby at this house and then the next house next door and then the next house and then that. Because you know what? You're going to take care of every single one of them babies. Because I'm going to make sure. And see, the brothers, the guys now, they don't have that, baby. They don't have that. So that's why the mentality is different. These fathers, some of these fathers walking around with their pants hanging off their ass with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? I see it all the time. These brothers is trying to be down at 40. At 40, you should not have your pants hanging off your behind, and you got your son with you, and his pants is hanging off his ass, and then you got the grandbaby with you, and his pants is hanging off too.
And you shouldn't be wearing throwback
jerseys
either.
So that's the mentality of today. So it's going to be different from how we feel. It's going to be different from how we see it. Because times have changed.
Let me just say this, though. Let me just say this. If that was my 12-year-old daughter taking a picture, 30 years old before she take a picture again, she'd be so scared of a camera boy after I get done.
You know, that's the thing. Believe me, that 12-year-old. That 12-year-old got her just due. But I will tell you this. I was more concerned with the fact that this was a 17-year-old knowledgeable boy. Not saying that 17-year-old has the wisdom of Moses, but I'm saying he had more wisdom than that 12-year-old did.
Yes.
He was a horny toad. He was a horny toad.
Well, if he was smart enough to say that he could get in trouble, then he knew what he was doing from the door.
And then to go so far as to try to convince this girl to leave her parents' home to meet him and tell her parents a lie. And that was all in black and white.
He's a pedophile.
But you know what, okay?
If he did that to her, Katie, because he knows dead wrong well, if he approached a mature woman with that crap, he would have got his feelings hurt.
But
you know
what
I'm
okay?
saying? That he knew she was immature, and he knew that he would be able to convince her to do things. That's why a lot of them deal with these 13 and 14 years. They don't want no real woman. You know what I'm saying? Because they know he's not going to stand for it. A woman with substance is not
going
to stand for it. So,
that's why I would choose not to. So, your 14-year-old girl is taking a picture of something, sending it to some 17, 18-year-old boy as we speak. It's so prevalent and happening. Obviously not excusing it, but it's happening so much. But let me just tell you something about a story right quick, Katie. I'll be quick, whatever. A friend of mine's son had a young girl. She found a videotape in her basement, one of the VH1s or whatever, in her basement, and out of curiosity or something, just watched it and stuff and whatever, something, she see her son on there having sex with a little girl, and she thinking immediately came to her mind. She could tell the girl was relatively young, you know, meaning, you know, about 14, 15. I think she was like 17 at the time. She could tell the little girl was like maybe 14 or 15. She first thing come to her mind, I'm going to kill him. I know he just making this girl, he done manipulated this girl until she listened to the tape, and it was the girl talking crazy, ooh, this and that, baby, do this, baby, do that, baby, ooh, baby, you like this, baby, baby, baby. And she said she was speechless. She was speechless, like, obviously, she still got on the phone, obviously, of course, and whatever, but she was like, she just could not believe that little 14, 15-year-old girl was that active and engaged in what was going on when she immediately thought that he was probably had manipulated her or was doing it secretly, you know, was secretly recording it. And couldn't find out she was fully well knowing she was being recorded and she was, you know, acting out like she was in a porn. And she said it just
threw
her away.
Lou,
Do not get me wrong.
I do not say that there are not girls out there just as guilty. All of you who have been on this panel with me know that I put anybody equally responsible. This situation was just going back to how everybody protects the men when it comes down to sexual situations.
It's usually guys
that are walking in. First of all, society has told men that they're supposed to know what to do in every situation. When it comes to sex, guys are supposed to lead off. When it comes to saying I love you, the guy should say it first. When it comes to marriage, the husband is supposed to know what to do. That's absolute crap. But when it comes down to sex, fathers tend to allow their sons to be a lot more okay with ruining somebody's daughter than they allow to be ruined as men. And then these same guys are out there saying, I don't want my daughter to be nothing but X, Y, and Z. And that can't be. And I don't give a damn if it came back so handed down from King James Version. I don't care.
Right.
You are smart enough to know what's wrong and what's right about a situation. Those of us that got beat the hell down with flying shoes and branches, as much as it saved our ass, would we do the same thing the same way? I'm sure we all have a thing where we would whip our kids if we had to. But would we do it the same way our parents did now? Honestly.
As far as what? I missed that. I was turning to the game. Say that again.
Oh, very good, Lou. You're in the conversation or in the game? I said there are plenty of things that we were born and raised with or that we were taught that we may not have agreed with back then. Now, I'm sure that all of us who grew up in the ass-whipping days, I'm sure that as much as we are saved by the fact that our parents would discipline us, we would probably still put a butt-whipping on our kids, would we really do it exactly the same way our parents did it?
Yes. I continued the tradition.
Would you pick up a flying shoe and then make them go choose a branch and all that stuff? Would you do that?
No, I didn't do the branch. I didn't even do cinch cord, but believe
it or not,
we had... That's
what I'm saying.
Right. I just didn't really have to. I didn't really have to because
what I'm saying
I could put
is nowadays,
faith in my boy.
What I'm saying is, exactly, we still believe in being disciplined parents. We still believe in not being our kids' friends. I'm saying that as much as we appreciate the fact that our parents were getting our asses, okay, would we indeed do the same thing to our children the same way? Or would we
No,
exactly.
Definitely not.
That's what I'm
definitely
trying to say.
Not.
So the
Definitely
same
not.
Thing can happen with modern-day fathers teaching their sons about sex. What changed about that? There's still bad consequences that came from it. Why? Because it's sex? There's another panelist on the line, and I need to bring them in. Just give me 1 second. Welcome to the show, Corey. You on the air?
How you doing?
Hi.
My name is
Mike.
Yes.
Your name is what, honey?
Mike.
All right. Mike?
Yes, wonderful conversation you're having.
Oh, hi, Mike. How are you? Welcome.
Fine.
Hello,
right,
Mike.
Welcome
to the panel.
Well, how I look at it, I never point the finger in none of our situations. I think that is the main problem in the battle of the sexes. Both sexes are pointing the finger at each other when in actuality it's both of our problems. Men and women are responsible for all of this society. On both parts, all of us are equally responsible. Women are equally responsible, and men are equally responsible. And when we're talking about teens and having sex is really something. I understand, you have a lot of adults for religious reasons know that they shouldn't have premarital sex, but they can't stop themselves from having sex. When we're talking about sex, we don't want to promote sex with teens, but we have to be real, like in teenagers. It's a certain situation. We just need to have precautions in the day and time that we have. When we're talking about sex and protected sex, it's the man and the woman's responsibility when that act happens to have protected sex.
Thank you very much.
And a man
we all agree with that.
Right, exactly, right. Exactly.
Thank you very much for that, Mike. Very intriguing and very interesting and true point. Just hang on 1 second. I need to bring another panelist. I've been waiting.
Okay.
Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Hello, Katie. How's it going?
Hi, who am I speaking with?
Young.
Hi, Professor. How are you?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
All right.
Hey, welcome, Professor.
Hey, what's going on, brother? How you feeling?
All right, yourself?
All right. So
all right.
I've been listening, and one of the things that I want to think about is, as society, we're looking at situations now where the youth are engaging in sex at such a young age, then pushed on to younger generations. I mean, you could think back to the days when we were watching television and television would shut down after a while. TV channels would shut down after a while, and we wouldn't be able to watch TV because it would be off at, what, midnight, 2 a.m.? So
yeah,
we had
to about 2 a.m.
Yeah, about 2 a.m. So when we are looking at the situation at hand, we have to understand how perpetuated sex is toward, in the media towards our children. And think about it for a second. As adults, we struggle with the concept of having safe sex and whose responsibility should it be. Now, can you imagine how irresponsible these children are going to be in the same situation, dealing with these same decisions, impulses, and things of that nature? So that on that aspect of it all, we need to be able to pay attention to how that has influenced the sexual revolution that we're currently dealing with. Now, in terms of who's responsible, I believe there's an equal share here in terms of responsibility. But unfortunately, the burden falls on the woman because she's the one who walks with the aftermath of whatever happened in terms of pregnancy. Now, I haven't even heard anybody discuss STDs.
You're late.
I'm a little late. Okay.
Yeah, the one thing I did say all day is that, see, this is what gets me, and I'm going to let you go back to your point, Professor. I was really sick into my stomach to hear that so many men that responded to my pre-broadcast topic question responded with maturity, you know, and with growth, if you want to call it that. But even with them saying that it's on equal footing, okay, they still ended it with, but it falls on the woman. What people fail to realize, because they're so interested in the hormonal aspect of it, is that women, it takes one, they have to be on one day a month for them to get pregnant. But if a person that's infected can immediately give it to them, and that's the thing. STDs is also what really is the danger in sex. But everybody's so pegged on making babies the plague.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah, we get focused on the pregnancy responsibility because, you know, that's the elephant in the room. Nobody really wants to deal or address the situation with STD, critical situation to be in. So, I don't know anybody that openly talks about their situations with STDs, but people will tell you in a minute, I had like four baby mamas, or, you know, they'll tell you there's sexual exploits in a minute. But, you know, according to everybody you know, nobody is having sex with anybody. So,
right.
Nobody is catching STDs. Now, you hear about the stats, so you know that, you know, the percentages work in a way that you know somebody that's burning as we speak. But you ask each and every person to talk to, and there's no STDs in their conversation. So, but I don't say that the responsibility falls on the women. What I say is the end result in terms of, now if we're talking strictly with having babies, now the end result is that she is going to be left with that burden more times than not. And she's going to be the one to go through the physical labor of having that child, having to make a decision about an abortion, having to live with that decision. A lot of times, you know, us men are absolved of a lot of that burden, although the responsible brothers out there want to be a part of that decision. We still don't physically carry that. And I know that there's emotional attachments that come to those situations as well. And that as men, we generally don't get caught up in that emotion because we don't have that physical experience of being pregnant, things like that.
Right, of being attached to it, absolutely. But like I said, I think that the bottom line, I guess the question or what people meant to say was, even it's equal to both, but women need to be smarter about it because of men's nature. And I get that. I do. But when I hear people telling me the women should be more because they get pregnant, you get STDs. Hello? And you'll get an STD a lot faster than you'll be a father. I don't know what to tell you. So now, then the other question I posted out there, which, by the way, surprisingly not, I got no response to. So then I turned around and I asked this person, these people, actually, so if it's the woman's responsibility because of the baby, then what does the men say if they should get an STD from it? Because as I pointed out, she could be protected up the wazoo. She could be barren, don't have a uterus.
So what happens when she's infected with HIV or she has VD or genital warts or herpes and you walked away with it? What are you going to say then?
Well, the bottom
line
is playing. It's like gambling every single time. You know, when you're dealing with anybody, laying with anybody, you gamble.
That's you in the bathroom.
I mean, this is certain things that you take a chance with. I mean, you can be strapped up wearing whatever kind of whatever that you want to wear, and then you'll still end up with crabs, you know, scabies or something. You can still get herpes. You know, which is probably one of the worst things you can, because along with herpes, if somebody with HIV is infected with herpes and they give you herpes, then you get HIV in that same fashion. So, you know, you're taking the chance with whoever you lay with. So it's all about making good decisions, but at the end of the day, you're still rolling the dice because, people leave town for certain reasons. People move into your neighborhood with pads that they don't want anybody to know about.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure we've all bumped into somebody who is in moved away, and then you bump into them in the current place that they're in now, and they got that look in their face like, please don't spill the beans on me in front of everybody.
Right.
I get you. But you know what? Even with that, first of all, anybody who knows anything knows that even the most effective birth control methods are only 99% effective, meaning since it's not God-made and not God-given, there's still a 1% chance of something going wrong. Women will get their tube tied and removed can still get pregnant, okay?
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing. So, you know, that's one. But the whole point is if we have to go with the lesser of two evils, at least do yourself a favor and try to go in with as much protection as possible. Condoms break. Birth control fails. The point is, who's responsible? I'm sorry, who said that?
So, this is Professor. I'm currently going to embark on the body condom, whereas you can just step into it and your entire body is covered. So, you have to minimize any chances of anything happening. Now, you probably won't get any sensation either, but hey, it's all being safe, right?
No.
You know, did any of you see Demolition Man with Sylvester Stallone and Wesley Snipes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, do you remember how Sandra Bullock's character was trying to copulate with Sylvester Stallone? It was through these headphones or something, and they had like virtual sex.
So it's like, oh, you really want to touch me.
Oh, yeah,
that was hilarious. It's
supposed to be mental.
Yeah, man,
that was hilarious. I mean, with the way, and please, by the time that you get around, you start seeing, you know, by the time that you figure you found one great method, 3 months later, you're going to hear this commercial. Have you or any of your loved ones used our supersonic condom situation? Well, right now, call us because we're going to settle a class action lawsuit. You know, you don't know what's what anymore, but at least if you're making a conscious effort to try to do it right, at least you could say I did everything possible to not let that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right. I'm going to let you know personally that birth control doesn't always work because 3 of mine came through it.
Mm.
And like I said, I was sitting there in the middle of the doctor's office asking God why on earth, what was his purpose? I was like, do you just want me to be a rabbit? So It's just that, you know, and I was on one of the ones that they say was one of the most effective all by its little bitty self. Because it's not made by God. God gave a woman the time to get pregnant and the time to no longer be able to have children. So when man came along and said, we can push this a little more, there's flaws in it. But if you try your best to combine as much as possible to make sure that certain things don't happen while you can still get pleasure from the situation, then the things that come from it, you can make a sound decision. But don't sit there because you're coming off the Aruga era and say, it's the woman. Okay, I'm tired of that. I'm expecting every time I hear these men talking, especially the older ones, I'm sitting there like, you know, let me ask a question. When you were growing up, did you guys speak English?
All you heard was ooga.
It's like, wow, what's that do?
You know? That's what they do. You know, they didn't even know how to say they love a chick. Just bash her over the head and drag her to the gate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but enough already. We are grown. We are educated. We are not evolved from monkeys. We know that there are certain things we were taught that even though it was said by somebody who we thought was an expert, we grew up and realized, wait a minute, some things mommy said was way off the bat.
Wait,
daddy must have been smoking a fist that night.
We keep underestimating the power of the subliminal mind. And we keep underestimating how forceful, how powerful it is to be convinced and to be conditioned to act and respond in certain ways. And I'm going to tell you now, there's a lot of brothers out there that when they're about to have sex, they think about, and this is not a proper way, but they think about the fact that it's like a race. And it's not a right way. And I'm not justifying this, but some of them think, listen, if by the time I take this time about putting it on, it gives her a second chance to think about this, she might say no. Now, some cats think like that. I know for a fact. I've heard it. So, and it's not while the judgment isn't sound, there is that thought process that goes on that, man, I can get in. I can get in for real. All right, let me hurry up. It's like double dutch. You know, you got to get in that rope while it's turning. And some of them had that money.
That's true. And then, okay. Oh my God, that's Lou in the laugh. I got you. Then we got a couple of other idiots that don't realize that, you know, just because you didn't shoot doesn't mean that your little swimmers wasn't at work. A lot of times, and I think that's another thing that men need to teach their sons, if they are aware of it. Because I think that a lot of these young men need biology. Matter of fact, some of these old timers need biology lessons. Because you guys send off pre-seminal fluid, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which you don't even feel it coming. But it's a drop that's very active with 1,000 little swimmers that can go in there and do something before you even felt the urge to come.
Mm-hmm.
And if that woman has her fertilized egg, you're in for it. Also, if that person is infected, them little swimmers are going to be bringing you something you didn't ask for.
Mm-hmm.
So my suggestion is, ladies, demand that they bag it up, and men, you do the same. That way you all can keep your little garbage to yourself.
Well, if the guys don't bag it up right, and the bag breaks.
Yes, go ahead. Also, for the men who say it's all on the women, I would just look at them and go, you know what? You might be right since you feel that way, but you know what? I wouldn't even have to worry about those problems if I didn't deal with you. Because if we don't have sex with the men, we won't have the babies. So that's why God put us both together. So if it was all on us, then how come I need you to help me produce the baby?
You better not let a black feminist hear you say that.
Yes, yep. Maybe that's the best. That's the best birth control there is for all those people.
That's
all
we had to be.
When I asked the question, safe sex, and like I said, all I saw was that none of these men thought danger to make sex unsafe was the diseases. And I know that would be the first thing I'm thinking with it, because pregnancy is not a danger. It's an inconvenience to many people. But that's what God designed men and women to do in the right way, of course. He didn't design you to have diseases. So this is the thing that gets me. The first thing that these men, and many of them were not teeny boppers, they were grown-ass men. No, it's the woman, because she gets pregnant. Now, I wonder what their fathers and mothers must have thought, or what it would have been like for them if that's what their parents thought before they brought them here.
Okay.
If a mother sat there and said, no, you're bagging it up, because I'm going to get pregnant, would they even be here to spit that nonsense?
Right.
And that's the other thing that gets me. They're so quick to put it on the woman, but without a woman, they wouldn't even be here.
Exactly, because we can't have them without them, and they can't make them without us.
Hey, well, you know,
we can have them without them.
And if men was able to have babies, it would be a babyless world, because I sure wouldn't be going through what I've seen some of you women.
I know, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, man.
How about that?
This is
Arnold
Schwarzenegger
movie too, huh?
I got dropped. But what I think has a lot to do with it too is because you have a lot of relationships where there are already children and men are coming into those relationships. So the love and concern for the male child is not in existence because, for one, it's not his child. So the male children don't get it the way they should get it, because if it was the natural father, he would have a little more love, a little more concern, a little more everything, because that is his seed. And we have a lot of men that are coming into relationships with women where the children are already in existence, especially the male children. So that's why I feel like, you know, our male children are not getting that father, that real father talk, that real father time, that real father love, the real father everything. And whoever the guy is that's raising somebody else's child, he's more interested in banging the woman, maybe building a relationship that might be genuine, and he might even care for the child. But guaranteed, he's not putting in like it was his.
Well, that's what brings us back to who's responsible for making sure that these children don't get into the situation of being born into any type of deserting or abandonment situation.
I think it is equally
responsible on parents to teach both genders of their children how to behave in sexual behavior. I think a girl should be definitely drilled a million times about being super protective of herself and demanding the respect from a gentleman to bag up to protect her health and her possibility of becoming a mother and having to be slowed down because of certain things. Okay, and I do believe the same for men. Now, once again, you have those men that walk around with trying to be the modern-day Abraham of the Bible. I want to be a father of a nation, okay? And you guys know it's true. You know, when I was in a situation with my children, we had a homeless shelter counselor who was quickly bragging that he was a father of nine, had another woman that was about to be pregnant, refused to let any woman have an abortion or whatever the case is, and he walked around saying to me, I have 10 children and I'm about to have another one. And didn't have a job at first to sit there and support any of these women, but I will say he was an equally involved father with all of them.
But you are
creating simply to say these are all, like, you want to leave your legacy behind? What are you, like George Foreman?
It's about more than just holding up that staff. In order to be a true leader of the nation, you got to do more.
That's what I'm saying. He was trying to be Father Abraham of the millennium, the new millennium, and it's ridiculous. You know, there are people out there. So how many of those babies' mamas did he say whatever to? And while he was doing that, I had the nerve to say he's not in the commitment thing.
Right.
Just briefly, baby, but we're not going to be together.
They want to have the fun, but they don't want to take the responsibility of having fun.
Yeah, it's just crazy. It's really, really, really nuts. And that's it. Those of you that are listening, there's a couple of callers that are being dropped due to some technical issues with the storm that's coming in. Just call back in and press once if you want to speak, okay? Got to take a sponsor break, everyone. Be back in about 2 minutes, okay?
Okay.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered. Featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs. Youth Day, giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com on The Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, attorneys at law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. Those of you who are just joining us, you have walked into a deep, intriguing conversation on the topic tonight, which is our conclusion. Our conclusion in our Battle of the Sexes in Sex series. And we are speaking tonight from the angle of who is responsible for practicing safe sex. Now, most of the people that you have heard here today have been in agreement that both parties are responsible. I was referring to my pre-broadcast topic question, which is a routine I do before each topic, where many men that answered agreeing, however, everybody in the end of that sentence put the main responsibility on women because of pregnancy. So I'm bringing our panelists back in on the line so that everybody can resume the conversation. Okay, Rod, you've been kind of the quietest, so mm-hmm. I'm going to pose this question to you. Now, mm-hmm. do you think... I'm sorry, guys. I'm still battling a little bit of that cold here. Now, do you believe that if parents nowadays would, even with it being at the teen stage, now don't get me wrong, we already know that these teens right now, they're mutants, okay? The thinking is crazy. The lack of options aren't there. The village isn't there anymore. They don't know anything about a strap being brought to their butt without a cop being able to be called or whatever. But do you think that if parents and more of the community leaders put more of an emphasis on equality and responsibility, that we would have a difference in the way sex is handled with these kids?
Mm-hmm. Well, I like to think that I'm going to more or less, let's say, speak from the church's point of view, I'm going to assume, because since the man is supposed to be the head, you got to be the lead. And when you start a new relationship, you have to be ready for the consequences. You give your woman a good time, and if later on she says, I'm pregnant, I mean, your first response shouldn't be, oh, you'll just have an abortion. That's okay. I mean, you got to be ready to have the kid. Now, as far as the kid grows into being, he would be surrounded by not just plain old rules on paper, but by people. I mean, people are always watching him. The way that I came up, if mom and dad's not there, aunt, uncle, friend, newspaper man, postman, everybody knew you. So at any time, if you were skipping school, downtown in what used to be Grants here, I mean, looking at the wallets, wherever, and you see the cashier, and you go, oh, my God. And she'll say, oh, so pick up the phone, and no matter how fast you run home.
Okay.
So I believe that it's like the man should take the lead. You just say, well, I'll take my 50%, and she takes her 50%, and if she still gets pregnant, well, that's her 50%. You can't do it that way. As a man,
Deacon,
you got to take the lead.
Deacon, I'll pose the same question to you.
He basically covered it right there.
You're a little unclear, hon.
He basically covered the bases there for me, because I'm pretty much in agreement. Oh my goodness, kind of lost my frame of thought because I lost track of what I was going to say. But I was listening to what he was saying. But I pretty much agree with everything that he said. So there needs to be some type of boundaries in today's society with the generation now. Like you said, I wouldn't go as far as calling them mutants, but there's some serious issues with them that we as the older generation need to address and help them out with. You know, we can't talk about this society today, because that's kind of twisting the T. We got the T backwards, because the T that we're supposed to be using is teaching. We have to teach them in order for them to learn. And I'm a true believer that you can't do better at all if you don't know better. So if you're not being taught, excuse me.
I said, wow, what a great phrase.
Yes, and as far as that goes, that's what we have to stick to our guns with, because if these children don't know any better, how do we expect them to be better than what they are today?
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much, Lou. I'm going to pass that on to you as well.
Katie, I agree with the rest of the panel, and I'm signing out because I got to go.
Okay.
Yeah, Mr. Grant and those new women in Texas.
Yeah, I got to go see a man about a dog. It's been a pleasure, everybody, but I got to go. ASAP.
We know.
In fact,
we know.
It's the time.
Well, thank you, Lou, for your input and for your time, okay? Thank you very much.
All right, Lou.
All right, have a good one. All right, ladies, I'm going to start with you, Darlene.
I feel that, yes, it does, if we were raised, well, I say we as a people, if we were raised with more morals, more respect for each other, it definitely would have an impact on the upbringing of the children as far as our attitude, as far as of the village, you know, taking care of the child. It doesn't even exist today anymore. I mean, even if you are a concerned person, you don't have to necessarily be the parent. But if you was able to walk up to the parent and say, you know what, I saw your child doing so and so and so, and then she say, really? And where he at? You know what I'm saying? And we both walked. Before, if we got caught doing something, not only would the person tell our parent, but they would come with our parent so they could find us. You understand?
Yeah.
So you could know I told
right.
your mother.
Yeah.
You understand? I don't want you to get it misconstrued. I'm not scared of you. I want you to know that I told your mother, and anything else I see you do, I'm going to tell your mother.
I hear you. I hear you. I think that's what's missing in today's society anyway, because you know what? There's not very many mothers and fathers to tell, because the mothers and fathers are pretty much doing the same thing their kids are doing. Or
yeah.
Kind of.
And
kind
that's the sad part.
Yeah. Right. Arlene, I want to pose that question to you, and then Deacon and Rod, I'm going to ask
mm-hmm.
you the next question first, but then I'm going to go back to the ladies, and I'm going to ask you because it's from a man's point of view. So let me first get Arlene's response to this question. Arlene, do you feel that if modern-day parents and adults in these kids' lives, regardless of the fact, like I said, they can be mutants at times, and what I mean is all of the teen classic behavior to the 10th power, okay? Do you think that if people stood up and made it a mission to teach these young children accountability on an equal basis, we would probably have a different approach to sex.
I definitely think that if we had more adults involved in these children's lives, it would make such a big difference. And I also feel that as adults, we're not being good role models for the kids. And just like he said, if they don't know, how are we going to hold them accountable? We let the judicial system tell us how to raise our kids. We let the judicial system take our power as parents away from our kids. Our kids don't even have to get permission from us to have an abortion no more. They don't have to get our permission for contraceptives no more. We allow society to strip us of our parental rights. And as a result of that, our children are running amok. And we, instead of us joining forces and fighting for the rights, which our parents would have did back then, we did absolutely nothing. So now these kids are raising each other. You 13, I'm 13. You asking me about advice. And that's how these kids are raising. They're raising themselves. So we can't expect a whole lot from them at this stage of the game. You know what I mean? Because we are missing. The parents are missing. And until they get that back, this is what we have to endure. Until we stand for something, our children are lost, and they're going to continue to be lost. Until we as adults unite and say, you know what, I had enough of this, because let me tell you, ain't no just judge going to tell me how I should raise my kids in my house where I pay rent, I feed them, I clothe them, I do everything for them, but you tell me I can't discipline them? That's a bunch of crock, and a lot of parents have went for it. They scared of their kids. That's why these kids don't know nothing. The parents don't spend no time with them. So, they need us. They need us.
Before I pose the next question to you gentlemen, I want to address something you just said. Not only do they say you can't discipline them, but they do the opposite and say that you're responsible for knowing and being able to maintain what your children do. So yet they want you to be parents, but they take away your rights to be parents as you can be parents. So that's what makes them so much more messed up. But men, I'm going to ask you this. DK, I'm going to give you a minute because I'm going to pose it to Rod first. Rod, do you feel that if fathers, boys, a lot differently in, or to approach sex or view sex in a more, more substantial or equal manner, that it would be different? Do you think that this would be much more different if the boys were taught a little less traditionally towards sex?
Well, I'm sure things would be different, but I'm an old fogey, so I'm going to more or less regurgitate my childhood, because I spent a lot of time with my dad when he was home. And when it came to playtime, Dad was like, enjoy yourself, son, but make sure you stay protected. And a man raises his kids, and you got to have a job. So as far as that's concerned, let's get you a job first before you worry about that. And also he told me that, playtime isn't just fun. There's something called emotions that's contained with that stuff, and they can be overwhelming at times. And, of course, we kids had to find out the hard way. Like, what? She laughed at me because I didn't know how to put on a what?
Okay, before I go to the deacon, let me ask you part two of that. Do you think that if fathers taught their sons to wait even through the little nerve-ending pops, do you think that if the way that they teach girls to hold on to their virginity as long as possible and blah, 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 do you think that if fathers gave their sons that same talk, that we would have sex be viewed or react or acted on differently? Do you think it would be better, less crap going on?
Yes, I believe it would be less of the chaos that's going on now. For the simple fact, if these so-called men that produce these children would take time to sit down and have a discussion with their sons or their daughters. And I understand that some men have a problem sitting down and talking to their daughters, but I've been blessed enough not to have that problem because I'm not going to sugarcoat anything with my daughter or my son. You know, I'm gonna come at them the same way because I feel like I'm gonna come at them in a way that I think that they may be approached here in today's streets today. So it's not like I'm going to try to hide anything from them because that's the worst thing that you could do is try and hide anything from today's children today because they have a sense of picking up on that. And if they feel like you're not being open and honest with them, you're going to lose them. And that's what the problem is.
They're going to look for the answer some other way.
Right.
They will.
Right.
Now,
right. So the best thing to do is be honest and upfront with them. That's the only way you're going to have any type of success with today's children today because they're so much more advanced than we are. Look at all the opportunities that they have before them with all this modern technology and stuff. So they can go anywhere and learn about the facts of life. And a lot of them, it might not be the right way to learn it, but it's out there. So we are the start and foundation for these children. And that's where it should start at in the homes and with the parents because that's why God blessed us with them. We have a responsibility to them. They are definitely jewels from God, so we're supposed to keep them shined up and ready to go.
Mm-hmm. So my question, I guess, from a different angle is this. If fathers taught their sons the same way girls were taught, where instead of them making sex a trophy of manhood, if they taught them at a young age that, listen, son, you're going to have these feelings, you're going to get these hard stuff, you're going to get these weird feelings, but you should wait, or you shouldn't jump into it so quickly, or it's not
right.
That big a prize to get. Do you think that, first of all, males will come out a little more respectably about sex, and do you think it would be such a big bang on the chest thing for them to accomplish?
Well, it wouldn't be such a big, like a big badge you're walking around with proud just because you don't knock something off out there. And if they're, like I said, if they're taught right by their mother or their father, it wouldn't be a mess that it is today. It goes to show you the lack of time that these parents take to spend with their children.
Uh-huh.
You know, when we were coming up and we come home from school, which
right.
would usually be about 3:30, 4 o'clock, and by that time, when you walk in the door, you can smell the food cooking. She's preparing dinner,
yeah,
getting dinner
right.
ready. And you
that's
sit
right.
down. We all sit down to the table together, and we have a discussion on how our day went.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
right.
that's what a lot of that little basic stuff, the little things mean so much in a child's upbringing. You know, it's just like you're not going to sit there and drink a full pitcher of Kool-Aid without no sugar. You know,
right.
so if you're gonna have Kool-Aid, make it right. So
right.
with our children is like a big ice cold glass of Kool-Aid that we put the certain amount of sugar in them so we can know that they can grow up to be nice and respectable human beings. That's the way it's supposed to be. Now you have things that are moving so fast that people come in and out, they grab something here and stick it in their mouth and keep going. You ask them how they deal. Oh, it's okay, it's all right, and they're on the run. No, they shouldn't be like that. Wait a minute. You come here and sit down. Let's talk. I want to know how your day went today. You know, did you have any problems? You know, what did you learn in school? What did the teacher teach you today? Tell me something about it. I said, maybe they're teaching you something I don't know about, so you can be a help to me too.
Right.
You know, we're missing out, and we're allowing our children to miss out on a lot because we have some things from our background when we were coming up that we're supposed to be passing on to them.
Yeah. Right. Yep. Absolutely. Ladies, I'm going to go to you first, Arlene. Do you think that if men – I'm asking because usually the understanding is sex usually begins from guys prompting. And I'm not saying, once again, people, I am not talking from a sexist standpoint because women are just as open nowadays. But usually the sexual situation starts from a guy doing
the prodding or the prompting, okay? So my question is, if boys were taught by their fathers that they should wait on sex even though they're having these urges, or that there's no such thing as a minimum time frame for these guys to get, you know, to get some, all right? Do you think that it would be a lot less of disrespect when it comes down to sex, or would sex between two people be a lot different, Arlene?
Not only do I think it would be different, I know it would be different.
Yes.
Because they would have the substance, they would have the values, they would have all the things that they need to be a productive, respectful man. You know what I mean? And first of all, the father's got to be there to do this stuff. You know what I'm saying? And 9 times out of 10, women raise their kids by themselves. And see, we are not men.
Absolutely, absolutely.
We could teach our sons certain things, but when it comes to teaching them how to pee, we ain't got nothing to whip out. When we teaching them about sex, there are certain things that we don't know about as far as a man's anatomy, the erection. We know it. We know they get erected because we be on the receiving end, but we don't know what it entails. So we can't really teach our sons to be men. And a lot of women think they can, but no, you can't.
So no,
that's why a male child needs a male in their life to teach them properly. See, we can teach them, but I don't know if we are teaching them properly, because we can only go off of how what we got to deal with, and that's the female anatomy. You know what I mean? And our emotions and things of that nature, which they have no clue. So, yes, I know for a fact that if a man, a real man, took his son by the hand and spent some quality time with him, decided the limit for that male child. He will have everything that he needs to sustain him in his life.
Thank you, Arlene. Darlene, the question is for you, honey.
And the same thing goes for me as far as not just believing that it would be different, just knowing it would be different. And the difference will come in with how they even approach the female's period. If they don't have a man in their life to teach them those things, like Arlene said, they're missing all the tools. Because, you know, and I need to say this, right? When we were younger, when we were coming up, right, my mother taught us how to clean it, wipe it, spit shine it, all that goodness, right?
Yes.
And we had a brother. And our brother was among four girls. So when we realized that our brother started picking up our habits because there was not a man around, we sent him off where some boys was. You know what I'm saying? We sent him off to other family members, and he started hanging out more with males. Because my brother actually, and I don't mean to be blunt, but I have to, when my brother put a pad in his shoe, For a foot cushion, we knew, like, he needed to go. You know what I'm saying? Because he took, you know, and he started wearing our perfume, and, you know, they, in other words, I'm saying, when you in Rome, you do as the Romans do. And if you're a male around a bunch of women, you tend to pick up women tendencies when you're a male. So you need that father in your life. You need that male image in your life to help you separate yourself so you can know the difference between man and woman. And
yeah.
My dad, you know, for what it's worth, I wish I could hear one man in this world sit their son down and say, you know what,
before we do anything, first I'm going to teach you that you need to respect the female. That's where you came from. You have a mother. And you know, any woman, we are queens and kings up in this piece to me. If a man can't treat me like a queen, and if I can't treat my man like a king that he is, then something is wrong with this picture.
Yeah.
It stems from us. Where I come from, I've never heard my mother use a profanity to my father. I never heard my father use a profanity to my mother. So today, when I'm in a relationship and a man use foul language to me, I look at him like he on his dad or mine. Who you talking to like that? No, I don't want to be in with the times. I like it how it was back then when we had the utmost respect for each other. And it's not like, and let me tell you, I had somebody tell me that I'm dreaming because I said I want a man to treasure me like I want to treasure him. And somebody told me like I am reaching out too far. And I said, well, if I'm reaching out too far, then I'll just be by myself because I think we are worthy of any and everything that's good and positive in our life so that we may pass it on to our children. If we start with each other, it can happen.
Okay. Is this Darlene?
Yes.
Thank you for that. And with me being a man, we have the same thoughts, and you hit the nail right on the head. So I have to commend you on that. And I'm so glad to know that I'm not the only one that thinks like that. And I hope I'm not the only man on the panel this evening that thought like that.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah.
Tomorrow, as I said, I am having a tribute to Good Men's Week because I'm going to let you know that I have run into plenty of the good guys that is being pushed and overshadowed by all of what, you know, society calls dogs or all of the womanizers or all of the deadbeats, you know, and it's crazy because, and then I see people, okay, who women that go out there and will want to snag a good guy just to abuse him or just to, you know, cheat on him or just to say certain things and then want to turn around and wonder why they're not being treated well. I see it. Women are just as catty and lousy as the men that they put all these respect on, you know? And so the thing is, men, when they love hard. And when they get hurt and don't trust worse than a girl because they have that society instilled machoism about life. I got played by a girl when I gave up my emotions. This is what happened. Meanwhile, women who are looking for that domesticated guy that wants the marriage and wants to be faithful and wants to do whatever, they're messed up. The same way women, even though, honestly, women go through it a lot more, but, you know, when men go through it, it's just messed up because, you know, each side, each gender has to deal with the jerks in their race that mess things up for them as the good person. So tomorrow, ladies, we're in the hot seat and the guys get celebrated. That's what it's going to be. Down to
nice.
My last question. So I need to thank my panelists for such wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time and wonderful, intriguing feedback and respectable conversation. Professor Jones, I know that you had to leave. Thank you for all that you have done. Thanks for all of Amru for when he left, but thank you. Lady Diamond was actually on for a little bit, but she had to go. But all of you have done nothing but bring such great feedback and outreach. And I believe Linda Miller's listening in. So thank you, Linda, for you being open and always leading the conversation as well, and for having the group because it's worth every bit of space on Facebook that it's occupying. But we do need to step up society, people, ladies and gentlemen. Enough of leaning on the blanket security of boys will be boys, and that's just the way it is, and women have to take on the responsibilities. Let me make this very, 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 very quick. Women have been footing the excess responsibility for years.
We have started from preparing and cleaning those dragons that our husbands brought home and dropped at the cave door. We have been the ones to take care of the men and the children. We have to be counselors. We got to carry the babies and deal with the bloating. We got to deal with the stigmas. We got to be dealing with being negotiated and bargained out as whores and prostitutes to get business deals landed for men. We have to do all of that. When the hell are we going to wake up and say, it's time for us to teach our men that they're just as accountable? And it's time for us women to say that we have a right to say no to being exposed to shit we didn't ask for.
Mm-hmm.
Use the French. Use the French on that one.
Yeah. Right.
But we have the right to say that. Now, while women may have to be a little extra smarter in certain things because we're going to run into this situation, it doesn't mean that we're the only ones that have to be responsible. It is time for society to take another route and put back the caveman rules and let our friends know it's just as much a man to say no to sex until it's time.
Right.
And it's more being of a man to respect the partner you're with. And that babies aren't the plague that makes sex unsafe. The STDs are.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because if we did that, then perhaps there wouldn't be so many teens grown to single parents who grow up with no direction. There wouldn't be young boys growing up to be yet another generation of men that find women to be objects of sex and negotiations and toss-offs. And then there wouldn't be women thinking that the only way to make their life go around or to get attention is to give away their bodies.
I know that's right.
It's a two-way street, it's a two-way accountability, and that is my final thought for the evening. So until tomorrow night, everybody, where we celebrate our men, our good men out there who's getting a bum rap, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference, and I'll see you here tomorrow night. And it's going to be at 9 p.m., everyone, because there's going to be a little bit of some studio makeover before we can get started. So 9 p.m. tomorrow night, everyone. Until then, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference. Good night,
Katie. Good night, panel.
Blessings to all.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.